Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." And then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Mary, a teenager who is a virgin, and Elizabeth, who tradition has was about 88 years old, were both pregnant. Almost sounds like the beginning of a joke, doesn't it? A teenage virgin and an 88-year-old woman walked into a bar. They were both pregnant. Sounds like a joke. And the details of this story are even more far-fetched than that. Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, said to Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, "Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Did you catch that? Elizabeth apparently recognized that the child growing inside Mary was the long-awaited Messiah. In fact, not only did Elizabeth recognize it, the unborn John the Baptist recognized it. All of this is pretty amazing. But is it true? I ask the question because when it comes to issues of a religious nature, our culture doesn't seem to value objective truth, as if truth and religion are separate. Here's an example of what I mean. I visited Independent Hall in Philadelphia years ago. That's where the Declaration of Independence was signed. So if you asked somebody, where was the Declaration of Independence signed? And that person answered, well, for some people, it was signed in Austin, Texas. For others, it was signed in Santa Fe, New Mexico. But the important thing is where you think it was signed. That kind of answer would never be acceptable to anyone. The subjective feeling in your heart that the Declaration of Independence was signed in Santa Fe, New Mexico, doesn't negate the truth. And the truth is, the Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia. But if we asked, was Jesus really born of a virgin? If we asked that question, it would be perfectly acceptable in our culture to answer with something like, I don't think it's a case of yes or no. As long as your faith helps you become a better person, it doesn't matter if Mary was a virgin. It's as if we have this idea that nobody can know the truth in the realm of religion. As if objective truth is an impossibility, and you can only rely on subjective feelings. You know, my favorite theologian, Rod Rosenblatt, made the observation that saving faith was never intended to be an alternative to knowing the truth. The truth matters when it comes to your faith. You know, we always emphasize with our confirmation students that the Bible is the story of God redeeming humanity, rescuing humanity from the consequences of our sinfulness. That's why the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, points to Christ. And the story of Christmas is an important part of that, of course. But the story of Christmas is more than a story. It's a historical narrative. It's fact, not fiction. It's not just about a baby born in a barn and laid in a manger. It's about a baby actually born of a virgin at a particular time and place in history when Caesar Augustus was emperor of Rome and Quirinius was the governor of Syria. A baby was born who is the Son of God, who demonstrated his divinity by performing well-documented miracles of mercy, who fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law, the requirements that you and I could never fulfill, who suffered and died on a cross as an atoning sacrifice for you. We have detailed and accurate, verifiable historical records of his life. We can examine those records and come to factual conclusions. You don't have to rely on subjective feelings in your heart. You can know the facts. you can not only look back to the time of Christ, you can look back further to the Old Testament, where the promises God made to Abraham came to pass, and the chosen people were formed, the people chosen to produce the Messiah, the Christ. And despite their rejection of God, God remained faithful to them and kept His promises to them, just as He keeps His promises to us and to you. And through God's prophets, who always pointed to the coming Messiah, God revealed the details of the Messiah's life in advance, including the astounding fact that He would be born of a virgin. It's found in Isaiah 7. It was written 700 years before Jesus was born. God has invaded our world as a helpless human baby who grew up to live and suffer and die to pay the penalty you owe. That's not just a warm feeling in your heart. It's an historic event. It actually happened. Why? Why did it happen? So you can be at peace and know that you are forgiven. Forgiven, accepted, and loved by God who created you. Not only that, you are actually clothed in the righteous robes of Christ. So when the God that created you looks at you, He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus. Today and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've come to the last week of Advent, and Advent is winding down and Christmas is around the corner here, Friday and Saturday and this Sunday, Lord, help us to be filled with gratitude for what You have done for us. Broken into our world as a human being, as an incarnate human being, and lived among us, and suffered with us, and most of all, suffered for us on our behalf. Lord, help us to be amazed at this truth, but recognize that it's the truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.